Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Welcome to the Weird Things podcast. I'm Andrew Main, joined by Brian Brushwood.
Oh, heck yeah. Sitting here in America, where all the hosts should always be.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't imagine what it would be like in some other country, but maybe Justin can tell us about that. Justin Robert Young?
Well, greetings from Edinburgh, Scotland.
Oh, dude, wait, I'd love to think like you're undercover looking for Nessie. Like you're on location. Since you're audio only, you could just tell us all the lies that'll make us super excited.
We're here by the lapping shores of Loch Ness, where I have found with 100% certainty a bottle of empty Jameson.
Gentlemen, enjoy your merriment while you can, because November's fast approaching. And November 22nd, 1963, was known for one particular tragedy when we lost President John F. Kennedy to the assassin Lee Harvey Oswald. But there was a much lesser known tragedy. It's one of those things when you hear about things that happened on one day and everybody talks about this tragedy and the other thing doesn't get as much as attention.
It was the same day as the Kennedy assassination?
This thing I'm about to tell you about, yeah.
So we're not supposed to guess. I thought we were playing that game.
You can guess.
Oh, yeah? Okay, all right. Justin, what kind of tragedy, not as big as the Kennedy assassination, happened the same day?
Oh, man. The debut of the Egg McMuffin.
more people died. And, man, he's in Europe, and he's already putting down American food.
he's become one of them.
Oh, they got it out here, too. It's
enjoy your haggis.
It's McDonald's.
No. Okay, so 11-22-63.
It was a tragedy. Lives were lost. Four lives were lost.
Four lives were lost?
More lives were lost. There's an air of mystery still around it, not quite solved.
Oh, dear. Can we get a geographic? Is this an East Coast phenomenon or a West Coast phenomenon?
This was an East Coast phenomenon.
East Coast thing. No. I immediately thought of that Boston molasses massacre, which, by the way, we need to.
I love the Boston molasses massacre.
I do. I was hoping, but it's not. That is the weirdest.
Is it? I don't know.
No.
Maybe.
No, it's not, because that was like 80 or 90 years ago.
Well, there was finally a memorial has been erected for this, and it's one of these things. It's just a tragic mystery, just sort of lost down history's time hole. And I'm talking about the Staten Island Ferry disaster.
What happened during the Staten Island Ferry? I assume there's a disaster with a ferry.
It's close to 4 a.m. on the quiet morning, November 22nd, when the steam ferry Cornelius J. Culf vanished without a trace, on its way with nearly 400 people, mostly on their way to work. The disappearance of the Cornelius G. Culf remains both one of New York's most horrific maritime tragedies and perhaps the most intriguing mystery ever. Eyewitness accounts describe large tentacles which pulled the ferry beneath the surface only a short distance from the Whitehall Terminal in Lower Manhattan.
Okay, this is my excitement of mourning that you're seeing right now. I'm mourning the loss of lives as I appear to giddily want to ask about the tentacles. All right, first of all, this is a documented thing. Like, real people definitely died.
Brian, there's a website and a memorial and a 3.5-minute documentary. What more evidence do you need?
Wait, there's a museum?
Wait a minute. So, eyewitness account said that there was a tentacle that pulled this ferry down below the waves, killing all those aboard.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've got a visual.
Oh, we do?
We have a potential visual of what it might have looked like.
Oh, this is
on the ferry.
Hold on. Wait. Oh, okay. Time up. I'm assuming this is the memorial. What you're seeing is
okay. By the way, I'm not getting videos. So
okay, great, Justin. All right. So first of all, I want you to picture a pedestal that is finely made. Looks like granite with brass on it that says "Dedicated in loving memory to the passengers and crew of the Cornelius G. Clough, who lost their lives on November 22nd, 1963, in one of the most mysterious and tragic maritime disasters in American history." Erected by the Staten Island Ferry Memorial Foundation and Chemical Bank. Thank you, Chemical Bank. So real quick, what do you suppose a fitting memorial to this true tragedy about the loss of 400 lives?
I mean, let's go ahead and skip the horseplay because I just got this link in the Skype chat. Oh my God, this is just 20,000 leagues under the sea, like the Kraken arising. This is a monstrous creature that has to be the size of the boat itself, if not larger, ripping it down below the waves.
It really does. It looks like, on top of that, it says, Staten Island Ferry, and it's pulling it down like with a vengeance. It's that cold-hearted terror, like, no, you belong down here with me as a plaything.
Because, like, you would. In my head, let's assume, although as far fetched as a tentacled creature ripping a ferry down below the waves in the shores, you know, between or in the waters between Manhattan and Staten Island, in general would be, if it were to have it, I guess, like, I would think that maybe it was some kind of, you know, an accidental thing maybe, but like this is like as if there's some sort of magical talisman on the ferry, and it needs to be returned to the sunken treasure for which it was stolen.
Yeah. Okay. So like, let's put this in perspective. Let's say that the theory that a giant tentacle monster pulled down the Staten Island ferry was 100% confirmed and well known, and it was as well documented as like 9/11, which apparently is still not well documented enough. Yeah. But
great context there, Brian.
But. It would be the equivalent of making a memorial to the assassination of JFK that, like, showed Lee Harvey Oswald in bronze, like, aiming and the exploding head of the president at the same time. Like, that is a tacky, tasteless memorial if it's totally true.
Well, I direct your attention to the total proof. Go to the News and Articles and Artifacts page on the website, Bryce, if you can. And news articles is great. Now, some people might point out the fact that other than the fact that a Google Internet search will turn up absolutely no evidence of this at all, not all the records that we had about newspapers were there. Some people might point out that these, quote, cuttings from the newspaper are not full justified and use non-standardization for doing hyphenation.
Some might
say that they look manufactured. In fact, the entire event looks like it could have been faked. But I pose this. Suppose you were the maritime ferry industry and you were dependent upon the livelihood of your industry succeeding. Maybe it would be in your interest to put out fake-looking newspaper articles and perhaps even to convince the families of the victims it never happened anyways.
Okay. All right. You got it.
Oh, a cover-up.
You gotta peel back the onion on this, because this looks. First of all, is the memorial at least a real thing? Is that an actual statue somewhere?
I believe so. This is a photo. We're seeing a photo.
It looks like a genuine photo of a Kraken.
I believe there actually is a physical memorial that was installed.
Was, wow. Okay, so where is the money for this coming from? Is there another
chemical bank?
You can
buy
some T-shirts online at the website if you want, depicting the horrific accident.
Here, what is this this website?
It's a sioctopusdisaster.com.
The SI, I'm sure, stands for Skeptical Inquiry of the Staten Island Octopusmonster.com.
Oh my God, these T-shirts are not any more tasteful.
No, you're witness, like assuming they believe this is real. They are T-shirts of a mass murder.
This looks like a bronze sculpture of the actual memorial that we just described for $100.
So some people, and perhaps a guy by the name of Joe Reginella, who is an artist, and built a monument to this this disaster that never happened and put him on display.
Hold on. Are you saying what I think you're saying? Are you saying this is all an art project?
Yes.
Oh, this is the best thing ever! Oh my God! Oh, this is wonderful!
So apparently, I don't believe anything, but Joe Reginella apparently actually made the bronze sculpture and put it on display, like in Staten Island or somewhere there. And people walked by, and there's this memorial to this horrific tragedy where an octopus killed 400 people.
Do you think Chemical Bank had anything to do with it?
The New York Post: artist fools tourists with monument to giant octopus attack on Staten Island ferry.
Oh man, that's some Banksy level stuff, dude. That's great.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, I'm just no one mind me. I'm buying this T-shirt.
Actually, there's about a 3.5 minute documentary which they do it, which I highly recommend it. It's worth just alone to hear the expression. It was a effing octopus. So, I don't want to. I just want to point out the glee at which you was obvious in your eyes at the thought that this could actually be real. And now, you know, the thought that this may not have been, you know, an actual thing.
Well, it's even more gleeful because it removes any ask like
guilt.
Like now. Well, and now all of a sudden, like, I'm on team. Let's push this hoax out. What's the website again? SI Octopus.
It's SI Octopus Disaster.com.
I'm buying that T-shirt. I'm going to wear it on Scam School. I'm going to wear it on the Modern Rogue.
Never forget. Never forget.
Well, and that's part of, like, all of a sudden now, once you know it's an intentional art piece, you know that the selection of the date, you know, is intentional. And like, oh, that's why you never heard about it.
Well, no. So, yeah. So I'm reading here through the website a little bit. And that's definitely part of it, is that, like, you know, kind of like unfortunately relegated to the dustbin of history because of when it happened. You know, there is this horrifying tragedy.
There's a page that just says artifacts. And there's two images of a shoreline with like bits of I don't know if this is a hull or what, ship pieces, and you can kind of see a part of the city in the background. But this one photo on the left, very clearly, this is just like one of the Apple iPhone.
This is just
filters.
An Instagram filter,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, this is just an iPhone filter.
That's amazing.
So it's just basically, yeah, it's two pictures. One of which is very clearly modern, right? And in modern color and saturation. And then the other one is just like an old-timey filter from Instagram, like when you would see somebody's brunch in. It is just – and like, why would they put the same photo next to each other?
Dude, I want this guy, whoever he is, to just get a massive rush of T-shirt orders and just have him be super confused as to why this is happening. That's amazing.
On the webpage they have visit, they actually list the prices to go to the museum. College students are free, by the way. Getting here, mass transit. Take subway to Lower Manhattan, be the 1 train to South Ferry, or the 4 or 5 train to Bowling Green, or the R train to Whitehall. Exit and walk south to Blue Neon Staten Island Terminal to take free ferry. After landing in Staten Island, take the S40 bus at Gate D to travel along Richmond Terrace, less than a 10-minute ride. Let the bus driver know that you want to get off at Snug Harbor.
Are these real things?
I think at some point you're going to find out that it's not. I just love the commitment like that. I think that might be, if we do a New York trip, is we try to find the Staten Island Ferry Disaster Memorial Museum.
Oh, that would be great.
By the way, we
actually have somebody that we could send on this adventure. Sitting here in studio right now is Curtis LaRock, who lives in Manhattan. Is that right? Mm-hmm. You can follow these exact directions.
I can.
All right, right on.
We'll hold you to that. I'm expecting an email.
Maybe that could be a Weird Things project where we actually take photos of exhibits in the museum. like posing like us, like, and we find other maritime stuff or things like that. Like the maritime history section here is amazing.
Oh, we could, you know? We could hoax our visit to the non-existent museum. Yeah. That would be fun.
Yeah.
As long as we use the same Instagram filter.
Well, again, that was a photo taken in 1963, guys. All right. Jeez.
And recreated last week.
Yeah. So listen, don't believe anything. I don't believe anything ever at all. Nothing's real at all. Everything is fake.
Yeah. It's amazing also how all these news articles are all written in the same font. Oh. Including the ones from 1963, 1979, and 1973 with page numbers on them.
When they're faded in the exact same way, too. They're well, the same
they're
shade
not of justified.
Yellow.
That they're all
yeah,
you know,
because they do columns justified. Of text normally, but instead this was clearly just written in Microsoft
There's
Word.
Like a hyphenate there are two hyphenated words on these articles. I don't even think they did that back then.
Yeah, only for super big words would you break that down. So it's funny just to see how that was like when the fake Bush letter came out claiming, you know, for the deferment or whatever. Yeah, you know. And it was like clearly there were problems. It just like clearly it was a forgery, but it was like, it's still gonna be true. You know, while Justin is in the little
the misty moors of Scotland.
Yeah, and around there, I don't know, are your travels to the UK going to take you to Somerset by chance?
I am not familiar with the geography of this fine island, but I'm assuming if it would really only be on the train ride back to London tomorrow.
I think it might be south. Let's go take a look. I know, and this is really hilarious to people who know. Yeah, it's in very much the south of the island. So
no. Is how I would describe that one as a no.
Yeah, our British lens. Somerset's basically, I think, where like King's Landing is. So, you know, just a point of reference.
Hold on. You mean where the exterior shots of King's Landing are shot? Or
no, there's an actual place called King's Landing.
Wait,
actual
for reals?
King's Landing, right?
Oh. Yeah. Are there actual dragons? Is there an actual wall in the north?
I haven't been dragons for like hundreds of years, Brian.
Oh,
all right.
Got it. I'm sorry. I got a little silly there for a moment.
Yeah, don't be an a-hole, Brian.
Fair enough.
So anyhow, the reason I bring this up is that they had, according to the Western Morning News, which, I mean, listen, this could be a prank newspaper, like, because I'm at this point where I believe nothing at all.
I mean, after the great Staten Island ferry betrayal, I mean, believe nothing, I say.
So, anyhow, this is an item from there, which was apparently they decided to post. This is from last year, October 30th. They got a bunch of the 999 calls. By the way, Justin, if you get in trouble there, call 999, not 911, okay?
We actually found that out through a friend of ours last night, and we're just delighted by the fact that Herman Cain was so popular out here that they renamed their emergency system.
There is a car ran into a tree across the street from me, which that tree is like had like three cars run into it because people decided to take that corner way too fast. And one of the women who lives in the apartment upstairs, she's like, yeah, I called 911. Then I remember we're not supposed to call 911. I go, wait, what do you mean? She goes, oh, well, in Burbank, you know, we're supposed to call some other number. I'm like, because they say they'll get there faster. I'm like, what effed up system do we have here where the local Burbank authorities tell you, no, don't call 911. Call this other number because if you want the police to respond, it's like, your tax dollars at work. Anyhow, so they got hold of a bunch of calls that had gone into the 999 number to see what were some of the things that people had been calling. For instance, somebody called to report that there was a werewolf in her bath. Okay. Somebody else said that they had a goblin at his front door. So apparently somebody did.
Both of them are Ashley talking about Justin.
Yes. So apparently they did. Somebody did a freedom information request to pull this up, and they got a lot of strange calls. One caller told Avon and Somerset police there was a werewolf in her bath, while another said he or she had become a ghost. A man from Weston-super-Mare, Somerset, reported a goblin at his front door. And another claimed there was a ghost holding a gun. There was also a ghost coming out of the TV. And in 2013, the Force received a call from a man who was adamant there was a ghost in his house because it had gone cold.
Oh, doggone it. Like, so many of these, I feel like, okay, these are cries for help for people having medical emergencies.
There was also reports of ghostly cats and one who believed she was expecting. Brian, this will totally debunk your theory right now, okay?
All right.
A ghost baby.
Expecting for dinner?
No, actually, that supports your theory of mental illness. Sorry, totally wrong.
Yeah, but some of them, like the people who says, I'm afraid I'm turning into a ghost, like, you know, there's weird things like alien hand syndrome or whatever, you know, maybe somebody's having. But the other stuff where it's like people are just dumb, like there's ghosts because it's cold. I mean, that's not dumb. That's super smart. That's a good way to look for ghosts.
So it's interesting they have like other ones. Last year someone reported a witch outside a house in Bristol stirring her cauldron. I'm like, did she carry the cauldron there? It was a fire.
It's on the back of a flatbed pickup truck.
A woman in Somerset claimed she had died and become a zombie. Now, of course, we're all saying like harassment, mental illness, all this, but perhaps you're being a little bit too harsh there, Brian. Simon Bamflied. I mean, again, I love the names over there. They're like, it's like Harry Potter land, really. From the Bristol Ghost Club said, I can understand why the police find it difficult to respond. It can be really difficult because sometimes it's psychological issues, but sometimes it could be true. He says, I've been investigating for about 10 years, and I must say about what percent, all right, numbers game, what percent does he claim to be genuine cases?
Oh, of the supernatural?
Yeah.
This is a cop who investigates these calls.
No, this is a guy from the Bristol Ghost Club. I mean, he may be a police officer.
Oh,
but I
got
do not
it. The guy from the Ghost Club, that fundamentally changes things. I'm going to say 90%.
Oh, no, no, no. Come on, Brian. Like, be reasonable. 50-50, I think.
So we have a call of 50. We have a call of 90. And the answer is, survey says, he says 70% are genuine, right down the middle.
Splitting the diff.
Justin wins by Price is Right rules, though.
Yeah. So, and he says the rest might be figments of somebody's imagination. I think you're right. I think that I'm not into, like, a lot of times you'll see things on Facebook, like, police pull over this crazy person with spray paint on their face and a bag of meth. And you're like, let's look at this idiot. And it's like, yeah, let's look at this person who's probably bipolar and has mental health issues. You know, a lot of these things really are genuinely crazy people. And it makes us feel better to laugh, but it's not all that different than, you know, 200 years ago when we'd make fun of the mentally handicapped. We just don't always recognize that that's actually what it is.
Well, and by the way, the whole like recognition of mental illness is a phenomenon like maybe 40 or 50 years old as far as like decent Western medical science. I mean, the whole idea of double-blind medical science is just over 100 years old. So it's like the idea of mental illness diagnoses and so on. Before that, it was all devils, demons, crazy people. I don't know what they called them back then.
Tetched. I mean, they knew.
Whatever it is, you should call 999 for it.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there's been, I mean, going back a couple thousand years in modern contemporarily, I mean, from the point of view, like people like in ancient Greece and all that, they understood, you know, there was concepts of mental illness. There was all sorts of wide degree of explanations for it, but they also could see that there were these physical causes, you know, somebody got hit in the head, you know, by blunt instrument, whatever, they weren't the same. Right. Somebody had some sort of childhood illness.
But they would also make up diseases like hysteria, that's the woman's disease, and that kind of stuff.
Oh, that's real. No, that's real.
Don't say that in front of my wife.
Why? Will she get hysterical? I'm going to watch myself now. seriously, folks, this seriously, you know, it's not easy trying to be on the front lines of all this weirdness out there. I know actually it's easy. We just sit here from the comfort of our homes, which we don't want to do. We want to go out and investigate. We want to do more. We want to bring this to you. We want to make Curtis, who's sitting in the studio right now, Brian, go out and find and track down to see if Yeah. There really is something more to the Staten Island Ferry.
You think those bus tokens are going to buy themselves? You think that subway card is just going to manufacture itself out of thin air? Look, if it does, we'd call 999 and let everybody know. But guess what? It ain't going to happen. So instead, we need you guys to head on over to patreon.com. That's patreon.com/weirdthings and join the Weird Legion.
Now,
do you think that you're going to get somebody to go down to Staten Island for free? No, you're going to have to pay that person.
And, you know, our longer term plan, you know, we've talked a lot about Mars, going to Mars, exploring Mars, and our plans for sending Bryce to Mars. Yep. And, you know, that ain't easy.
That ain't going to happen for free. We have to start saving now. We're going to create the piggy bank. We're going to call it Bryce's piggy bank. And we're hoping to build up to that $175,000 of expected expense to get him a seat to Mars.
Yeah. I feel comfortable saying if we get $175,000, I'll go to Mars.
Oh, geez. You heard it, ladies and gentlemen. Well, we now have, we're all on the same
I'm calling Elon Musk's bluff.
We even have a suggested URL for donations.
Oh, sure.
MarsNeedsBryce.pizza. Just head there. Hopefully that'll forward you over to the Patreon page where you can make that happen.
I listen, and we're willing to, if we come in a little bit short, see if we can't send them as flat pack cargo, whatever, we'll do that.
Sure,
we're
sure.
Dedicated.
That to assemble me.
We're that dedicated, the spirit of exploration that we will send Bryce, carrying with our hopes.
You know what's going to end up happening? If we don't hit our numbers, we're going to have to like go beg somebody who's actually headed there and just say, look, just take this fingernail. You just tuck it in there, put it in your clothes somewhere. Just let us believe that part of Bryce.
No, Brian, I believe we are going to send Bryce to Mars. Yeah. And unfortunately, we will then need to raise more money for our memorial when that rocket is taken down by an octopus outside of Staten Island.
That's true.
So speaking of going to Mars and funding, hot on the heels of the SpaceX announcement, and I'm in the middle of writing my book on Mars called How to Make Money on Mars, A Guide to Martian Economics, talking about like what corporations would want to be involved and what would be the risks versus other sides of that. And I'm still like saying like, yeah, some corporations might be. And as I'm writing this, literally, John Legere, the CEO of T-Mobile, says on Twitter, I'll give away a trip to Mars if this tweet gets 1 million retweets by October 11th. you know, the normally media shy, very, very cautious guy has offered.
Yeah,
to,
exactly.
So basically what they're doing is offering to pay the $200,000 for yet unannounced tickets for a yet unbuilt spacecraft to Mars. But he is already trying to jump in front of that Mars rocket and put the T-Mobile name there.
I mean, that seems like the best way to make that kind of giveaway promise is when you know for a fact there'll be nothing to give away on the timeline. Or that is, number one.
For as long as you are going to be the CEO of T-Mobile.
Exactly, right?
Yeah, his website is, this is the guy who's head of a major telecom, and you need to click on the link and go look at his website.
By the way, looking at it now, it's clear like he's got a gradiated thing where it's like he probably will give away a free trip to somewhere in the U.S. for 10,000 retweets.
Yeah, they're already at 13,000 retweets.
Yeah, okay. And the second one is a chair.
zero gravity chair.
Yeah,
please.
No, I'm sure. Look, everything's zero gravity on your way to Mars.
Well, technically microgravity, Brian, but, you know, it's
sure.
I know. Those discussions drive me nuts. I'm like, well, where does zero gravity exist? Technically, you have to, like, go between galaxies.
Man, so. Dude, if there's one more tedious thing, man, I hope some gun enthusiasts are listening right now because, man, oh, man. has the world gotten on my balls about my use of the word automatic to describe a handgun? It's semi-automatic, and it's like I'm pretty sure, you know, it's called a 9mm automatic for a reason. And it's like I look it all up, and it's like any gun that auto-loads the next bullet is an automatic, as opposed to a revolver. And in the category automatic, there are two types: there's full auto and semi-auto. And this was a semi-automatic handgun, but I called it an automatic handgun, and wow, does the world love to get pedantic about their guns?
I will defend that pedantry. If I may use
sure,
that
sure, 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 yeah.
In that the problem is that a lot of the media, and you're not media, you're a guy talking, just doing stuff. You're not a journalist, you know, telling people from the position of authority, this sort of stuff. There is a lot of misinformation in mainstream stuff about guns and things like that, and what's assault rifles and things like that. And that certainly frustrates a lot of people in the gun thing. And you got the blowback from that.
Well, and that's the funny part is I understand their frustration. They are a group of people who they're very hobby. They can't even say the thing that they're into without people suddenly throwing judgment and prejudicial suspicions about why they're into it and all that stuff. And they're also, you know, it's like they constantly are watching misreports and all that stuff. I get all of that, but it's like, but
why do you want to take your guns, Brian?
I know, I'm sympathetic to their position, and it's like my reward for being sympathetic is that all of them turn into walking stereotypes, where it's just like whatever you would imagine the dumbest gun-toting thug, canned automatic response would be. That's all I'm getting.
Is this on YouTube
or our guns
yeah,
or where?
Yeah, this is just more like the comments still keep rolling in. The misinformed comments keep rolling in on the Modern Rogue video where we tested a semi-automatic a non-lethal way to disperse pepper gas or pepper spray slash it's a combination of pepper spray and tear gas pellets in this gun. And, man, I've never done this before. They finally broke me. I just started deleting comments. I'm just like, don't be a cartoon.
I had a back and forth on Reddit when I was explaining the problem with a proposed alternative to the Elon Musk ITS architecture. And I said something about like this alternative would take like four times the amount of fuel. And they're like, no, that won't work. It won't even won't get there at all. And I'm like, well, I mean, it would. He's like, no, that's not how orbits work. And I'm like, and this back and forth kind of thing. I'm like,
you guys are on the same team. You're saying,
oh yeah, we're on the same team. Yeah. And like, I mean, I get Tsiolkovsky. I can't pronounce his name, but I understand the point of his equations, Hohmann transfers and all that. And it was like, and I'm like, yeah, if you just left earlier in the window. And he goes, oh yeah, no, you're right. It's like, yeah, I know. If you left at the same time, but you had less energy, yeah, you would totally. It was one of these things. Like, no, trust me, we get it. We're on the same page. But it's that kind of like you're afraid you're entering into a low information discussion, which happens the more you get into space stuff and all that. Is you find yourself presented with a lot of low information discussions where people are like, well, why don't we do this? And why? I'm like, listen, between me and you, there's a thing called the internet that has a lot of answers, and you can find them, and then we can have discussions. But if you're just gonna go explain to me this, that man, you could have asked that in fewer words on Google. So,
yeah.
Man, the problem is that you guys just keep wandering into these contentious arguments. You should be like me and spend your time in relaxing environs, like running a political podcast.
Is that just a daily thing? Because fortunately/unfortunately, like, I don't know, all of the guff we get on the Modern Rogue is in public, whereas, like, I'm assuming most of yours is in emails that come in, and you just, like, once you see it's four paragraphs plus, you just type, LOL, I like politics, too.
Yeah, it's funny. I really, things have been pretty clean, really, like, since I've done the show, but, and even with BitTorrent and everything, like, everything was pretty good, and then for whatever reason, I don't know what happened over these last 3 days. You know, people really got their Irish up about politics. Hmm. And, you know, it's you want to know what? It's not the four paragraphs. It's the four emails in quick succession that are all one sentence.
Ugh. Like, I lost it and went on a pout parade on Twitter last night. Just like it's like I'm just out of energy. For the fact that, like, I'm like, oh, I would like a distraction on Twitter. And it's like, I just can't find anyone not either crowing about how happy or upset or fighting one way or the other. It's just
so,
like,
Justin, while you're in England, I have a mission for you.
Yeah.
Brian, we can keep going that way.
No. Keep going.
I know. I'm saving us.
Yeah, no, please.
I know. So while you're in England, we have a mission for you, okay? And it's on your way back to – you're going back to London, right?
I'm going back to London, yeah.
It's really close. It's really, really, really close. This is some next level spy stuff.
Okay.
Are you down for this? This is important. It's critical.
Sure.
Brian, did you sound a little too cavalier?
Well, I mean, I don't think he really understands the gravity. This is an official Weird Things investigation mission you're being presented with. And I got to back my co-host here and say, like we feel like you need to understand the gravity of what you're agreeing to.
Well, I don't know. Wait, I mean, I'm agreeing to hear what you're going to say.
Stepping back already.
All right. No, that's fine. It's probably the sensible thing to do, given what the nature of this is.
So, Mr. Neil Armstrong, listen. Come into my office. I'm NASA supervisor. Come sit down. Whoa. Before I sit down and hear what proposal you have for me, Neil Armstrong, and this is like 1968. I need to know a little bit more. Is that your attitude?
All right, hold on. In Justin's defense, Neil Armstrong at least was asked, "Would you like to go to the moon?" and then said yes.
What do we know? What do we know when he was at? I mean, did before he was asked, was he like, "Listen, before you ask me anything, guys"?
Do you think there was like, he's like, "You're gonna go on a trip"? It turns into a Weird Thing scenario where it's like, "Would you like to go places?"
Was he getting all cagey like Justin was before the ask even came through?
I don't think Justin was cagey. I think he's ready to hear the proposal.
Here's I like to believe that Andrew's on the forefront of the moon proposal hoax. Like not that the moon landing was a hoax, but rather that Neil Armstrong was hoodwinked into going.
Like he didn't know until he was about to land. He was like, "Well, I thought it was just a free cruise." So
like, "This simulator is really accurate, guys." Buzz Aldrin's, snickering in the corner.
Yeah.
All right. Got him, boss.
We got him. He said he would never go to the moon.
So let's like, "Guys, I said there's one place I'd never take a spaceship to."
You owe me $50.
So there was a discovery. There was the Wentworth Elm. Wentworth Elm was thought to have been long extinct. This beautiful, majestic elm tree, which was beloved by hell if I know. Anyhow,
somebody loved it. I mean, everybody loves some trees sometimes.
Yeah, the wee forest folk did. And apparently they thought it was all wiped out in Great Britain during the 1970s, chopped down a tree for the Queen Day. That actually was Dutch elm disease epidemic, just wiped away, killed between 25 and 75 million elms across the UK. So they're like, "Man, we lost this elm. What do we do with this elm? And it's gone and whatnot." Some biologists were walking through the garden, the Queen's garden. Queen's apparently got a big garden. And I'm sorry, Justin, I mistake. You do not need to go to London. This is in Edinburgh, Scotland.
Oh, what?
In Edinburgh, Scotland.
It's pronounced Burr, Edinburgh, Scotland.
Yeah, so anyhow, what they discovered in there, in Scotland, right where you are right now, in the Queen's Gardens, they found two Wentworth elms.
So thought to be totally extinct.
Yep, thought extinct, thought long gone, and apparently they're there. They're there in the garden, probably just a stone's throw from you. My point is, we don't know what else is in that garden. We don't know what other extinct species could be hidden there. I'm going to ask you a question, just a hypothetical question. If I were to go look at like the Scottish flag and I were to go look at what sort of emblem was on there, what would I see?
Isn't it just the white X?
Well, what's the, wasn't there another, isn't there like a mascot? Isn't there like a special?
There's a Scottish royal lion.
Hold on. Let me get the correct terminology here.
Are we scrambling for all kinds of things? Are we trying to figure out things about Scotland to suppose they might be underneath this?
What is Scotland's national animal?
I think ancient forgotten haggis.
No.
Sorry.
No.
Okay.
Type in Scottish national animal into Google so I don't have to tell you this.
Okay.
All right. Oh, the national animal is the unicorn.
You can't do that. You can't. What?
Wait, when was, how long has the unicorn, the unicorn, how long has the unicorn been the national animal of Scotland?
I don't know. A long time.
Since
you know, we should ask our expert on the ground. So my point is,
the 12th
is that,
century.
Oh, wow. Oh, guys, yeah. It was used on an early form of the Scottish coat of arms. Wow.
So what I'm saying is that they found in the Queen's Garden in Scotland extinct trees they thought were gone, but she'd been scrolled them away, hiding them away from everybody until a couple botanists going along
all right,
there.
No, this is making sense, actually. Now I'm seeing what you're – I'm picking up what you're putting down. I mean, we know for a fact unicorns used to be, you know, everywhere in Scotland. Otherwise, why would they put it on their flags and such?
Dude, I mean, Brian, I'm going to bring this back to reality here.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there are unicorns in the garden. Maybe in a stable, maybe a secret stable. Maybe she rides them around on some special day. Rich people are weird.
Yeah. No. I mean, think about it. If you have one, you're not going to tell the world. It's there's going to cause trouble for you.
You're going to have to let all like the poor children pet it, et cetera.
That's true.
I mean, I'm just saying, they're going to want to get in on this action. I want
Justin to like go do an investigation. Maybe if they can go visit the grounds there, like maybe go look for a horse stable and look for some holes in the roof.
Well, just evidence. Look for the kind of things you would expect to see if a unicorn had been there recently.
It's the stable roof leaking. You know what I'm saying? Like little holes were poked in there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
saying? No, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It'll be funny if, like, oh yeah, oddly enough, like the whole staff has been here for decades, except for one area that always can only be staffed by virgins.
Well, the good news is half our Weird Things listeners can then go there.
Oh damn!
Pure soul. By the way, I'm watching. I'm getting a view of Bryce's control board
with
the Windows update, And watching Bryce work and do the behind the scenes is fascinating and should be a podcast unto itself. It is like some sort of fast forward, whatever, you know, like a Photoshop tutorial, you know, at 10 times the speed.
All right. I'll tell you what I want at 10 times the speed is this bicycle that I want to ride across to the American Southwest desert.
Oh, it's Journey Quest time. All right. Justin will get back to us about the unicorn hunt. Fine.
Yeah, no. I'll be, listen, I got a train out of here at 11, but I'll try to squeeze it in.
Man, what happened to you?
I mean, I think, you know what? Hey, man, if they're anywhere in the area, you know, they're magical creatures. My guess is that Justin's going to find a number of strong evidence that they've been, I'm sure they're maggoty with unicorns.
Yeah. Where were we in Journey Quest? Do you remember? Do you remember what happened last?
Well, we were about to see a room. We had made it to a cave at the end of our bicycle pedaling extravaganza where we escaped a bunch of raucous pregnant Amazon women. And we had finally made it to a cave. It turns out the guy's a fan and he was going to take us to another cave. And
you had Vision Quest.
Oh, that's right.
You had the vision.
We got wicked high. That's what it was. Yeah.
And you each had a vision, Brian. Do you recall your vision?
Oh, that's right. You each got like personalized information about the other person.
Yeah.
Brian, you had a vision. You saw yourself in some sort of exalted position, perhaps we'll describe. You had an idea of Justin, perhaps a warning.
Yeah. No. I mean, in my vision, which I just assume is true, I don't want to turn on Justin, but let's just say my vision did not entirely fill me with confidence about my partner.
Justin, you recall your vision, perhaps?
I do not recall because I think I'm also getting it mixed up with another vision that I had during another similar thing that we did recently.
You had a vision of Brian and perhaps you came across some refugees who are driving north to try to survive the apocalypse. And you had a vision of Brian's reception to them and perhaps a growing suspicion of his motivations?
Yeah, that's ringing a bell.
Yeah, I think that Brian might kill a new person, a newcomer, possibly. There was murder potentially involved.
Not in my vision. My vision. You know what? Yours. Hey, man, I'm just gonna lay it on the table. I had a wicked high trip, and it turned out that I was leading people. I had a whole tribe of people who believed in me, and then there was
you were on top of a pyramid, Brian, on a throne. Don't forget that.
You're damn right, because I was first of all. Everybody's riding bicycles as far as the eye can see. Totally green energy, silent.
Brian? Wait, Brian. They're not bicycles. They're Brian-sicles.
See, okay, that's...
not our bicycles.
Yeah, I would imagine we call them bicycles in honor
of... For some
of...
reason, I can get down with that name a little bit better, huh?
There was about 300 people died in that argument over Brian-sicles versus bicycles.
there was a sect of people as I told them about the dark producer Bryce and his mischievous ways and why you shouldn't trust him.
And I rallied the
guy that murdered all those people in the hospital?
Yeah.
Oh God.
Wait, what happened?
The monster Bryce?
When I killed a bunch
of people. Oh, yeah. No, I still haven't heard that.
Just following orders, Castillo.
At any rate, in my vision, not only did it say that I would be an awesome leader that was well beloved by my community, but turns out there's a bit of a little J.I. in the mix, as in Judas Iscariot Young. I'm talking about you.
I think my vision was that you were going to go power mad and murder people.
that's what all the J.I.s say.
Well, number one, that's what my vision was. Like, you don't have to murder people.
Yeah, you know what? Now that I'm thinking about this, it occurs to me that maybe the two of us could just talk about our visions and not accept them as the current reality. And in fact, maybe what we'll say is, I'm hearing you correctly. You say I should look out to make the mistake of being an egomaniacal, overpowered warlord. And you're saying, and I'm saying to you, don't cross me. Right?
Yeah, I guess that kind of gets to the short and sweet of it, doesn't it?
All right, well, let's file that away under things we should watch out for in the future if they do happen to come true. But in the meantime, I'm thinking maybe we should get some fresh water, pack our backpacks, and maybe start bicycling.
You're standing in front of the last where we left off, your host in the cave, the guy that rescued you and pulled you to safety. I think his name, we called him Joe.
Sure.
Pulled a gun. It's holding onto the gun.
Yeah.
A gun in front of you all.
Yeah.
Right? It was a very tense moment, and we ended on that. He drew the gun. He's like, listen, you can question these prophecies as much as you want.
Oh, good. As long as we're questioning, Justin, have you ever done an illicit drug and had a trip, and then that came exactly true? Because that doesn't even happen in my dreams. Like, I'm starting to think about it, and it's like the idea that just because you picture a thing, that means it's going to happen, that seems pretty silly.
That's not a thing, Brian. Like, it doesn't happen.
Well, let's recall.
Joe, hold on one moment.
I got a gun here.
I mean, that's cool. But, and by the way, as I start telling this story, I slowly and very bigly wink over at Justin. Like, hey, man, no, Justin and I are having an argument here.
Bang!
Biggity bang!
And so who does he shoot?
Who does he shoot?
Himself.
Oh, my God!
Puts the gun to his chin, blows a bullet through his head.
So this is the part where I turned to Justin. And I was like, all right, number one, that was way louder than I expected it to be. That was really weird. Number two, I had this whole plan figured out.
This is when
we're going to pretend
screaming. Oh, my God. What just happened? Why did that just happen? That's insane. Brian, that man murdered himself in front of us. For what reason?
I said, that's a good point. And now that we have a new world order, we need to hold him at trial for the murder of himself. And so I start moving boxes over and I set up a judge's pulpit.
I slap Brian across the face and say, come on, just let go of the bit for 5 seconds. We need to get on the goddamn road here.
All right, fine.
So meanwhile, the guy's on the ground and he's gurgling and he's actually starting to whisper something.
I lean over and look like I'm trying to hear his whispers, but what I'm really doing is just peeling the gun out of his clenched fist.
Fine, but he lets you have the gun, and then he takes a crooked finger and points towards Justin. Then he whispers this into your ear, which you're going to get via a text message. It's really weird. He actually texted you.
Okay, so I listen. I lean over. And I listen and I hear him whisper some stuff to me, and I say, and I look pointedly over at Justin with a slightly hardened stare, but then also I roll my eyes, and then I hear the rest of the message that just arrived on my phone, and then I'm just like, oh, and I look and I was like, hey Justin. We got to get on the road. What do you say we start pedaling?
Remember, there's a busload of refugees that you heard about on the radio that need help.
Yeah. Well, let's get pedaling. We got a gun now. Let's just go, and we'll have bro talk while we're pedaling down the road.
All right, let's go. Let's go get that man.
All right, so you leave the still gurgling, not quite dead man to die on the floor of this cavern, even though he saved your lives, rescued you. That's fine. He's there.
I mean, he also
shot himself in the head.
Yeah, man. Look, this is a libertarian paradise I've always wanted. He owns his own life, and he made the conscious decision to take it. So, I mean, it's like it's not my right to force him to live if he doesn't want to live.
Right, we gotta have a conversation at some point in this infinite time that we're gonna spend together about the differences between the terms libertarian and anarchy.
That's funny. we're pedaling along, and I'm like, "Hey, man, you ever wonder what caused the whole apocalypse?"
Sure. Yeah. Of course.
I mean, because I heard, I mean, it was so like, have you heard any rumors?
No, I heard it was a super flu that killed a bunch of people.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, since when has a super flu killed millions of people? Can you name one time?
Like the plague?
Yeah. I guess also the Spanish flu from the early 20th century.
Those times.
You know, it's like, I don't know, maybe I'm just noodling in the head, but it's like, I heard a rumor going around.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, people are talking and, a person, I'm not going to say who, but this person pointed a crooked finger at me and whispered something in my ear, and it was hard to hear.
Crooked finger at Justin.
There was so much gurgling. There's a lot of people who speak through blood choked sputters, and this person, whoever it was, maybe said that hypothetically, you know what caused the apocalypse.
Wait, all right. So the person who just impulsively blew their own head off.
I didn't say who it was. I said it was a person. It could be anybody.
And it kind of like went more through their mouth and maybe the occipital lobe, but not quite fully blowing out the back of the head, just to clarify.
But also, I didn't even say it's that guy. Also, who's that voice? but yes, I mean, look, I heard that you know what caused the apocalypse.
Okay. Well, Brian, I got to tell you something. Because this is all kind of coming back to me.
Oh, well.
But there was a part of my vision. This was a part of my vision that I didn't tell you about. I knew, or I had a vision that you were going to accuse me that I knew what started the...
Wait, so are you saying the thing that I proposed, that like you had a dream and then it actually came true, that actually happened?
It's happening right now.
Wait, so, but is this like a deja vu thing? Because sometimes I have deja vu and I think like, oh, I dreamed this, didn't I? But then it's like, I can't really predict. Like, what happens next?
What happens next is we just go to that refugee van and we just figure it out. I mean, like, whatever. Listen, there's a lot of these weird prophecies that are swirling around us right now. But at the end of the day, either we're going to run out of food, we're going to run out of water, we're going to run out of medical supplies, or someone's going to shoot us. So the best thing we can do is try to keep going to L.A.
All right, let's keep riding, and I'll tell you what I'll do. Sometimes, you know, you know a thing, but you don't really know a thing, and you think you don't know a thing, but you really do. So I'm just going to try at random moments. I'll just kind of ask you, what started the apocalypse? And then maybe it's, like, subconsciously buried in you, and then you're just like, I did.
How the hell would I know what started the apocalypse?
I mean, the guy, he pointed his crooked finger. I mean, and plus your vision predicted this moment. Maybe there's something to it. Maybe it's a repressed memory.
Also, by the way to sell out that guy.
What? I mean, whoever that guy was, I don't. Ah, damn it, damn it. All right.
Hey, are you gonna go towards the bus or not?
Yeah,
we're going. We're going right now.
Yeah, we're pedaling.
Right. So you're pedaling along. You're coming up towards a steep sort of incline over a precipice, and your bicycles are, you know, managing. Your calves are burning a lot, though, and I forgot. Are these like 10-speed, 12-speeds, or they just like single or fixed gear?
Yeah, they're like trail bikes. I don't think fixed gear would be really good for off-roading, but yeah, they're trail bikes.
Okay, all right. So you're reaching towards the top, and you hear the sound of a lot of motorized vehicles. A lot of motorized vehicles, okay?
Which direction? In the direction we're headed, or?
Yep, the direction you're headed. You park your bikes, and you crawl over to the edge of the cliff, and you look down, and you see this sort of little flat land there. Mm-hmm. There's a school bus filled with people who are panicked. They're looking out the window because surrounding them is the armada that you just escaped from.
Justin, I feel like maybe we had some small hand in causing this problem to occur for these guys.
Yeah. Well, wait. All right. So they're all broken down?
Well, there's a school bus filled with refugees, and they're being surrounded by the marauding group of pregnant women.
Not pregnant. We don't know that. We know that they're engineers and very mechanically inclined.
Got it. But the point is, like, I think we might have led them randomly on a goose chase. They were chasing us, and now all of a sudden, they're definitely harassing the school bus full of people. Maybe they're going to die.
All right. And you ready for this? And then you got bicycles. You just got bicycles, right? And you see them sort of surrounding them, driving around, kind of like, Mad Max 2 style.
Sure. No, I do have I have that handgun. It's a semi-automatic handgun.
Right. Get a handgun. There's about 25 vehicles, but you hear a rustling sound. It's this rustle, this tarp. Right?
Okay.
You look over to the side, and there's something covered. Something covered with the tarp, a big structure.
Wait, is it near us or is it down there by
near them? Near you. It's right on the cliff with you. Right on the cliff with you.
Hold on. Hey, Justin, I'm sorry. I got to figure out what this rustling is. So I walk over, I grab a corner of the tarp and I tug it. But it seems like, hey, Justin, this is harder to pull than I thought it would. Will you grab the other end?
All right. I go and I help Brian tug the tarp.
No, but not that end. Look, if we're pulling opposite. It's not going. Here, walk around on this side and I'm going to flip it. We're going to go counter. My right hand, your left hand, and we're going to both pull on three, okay?
Okay.
All right, ready? One,
two, three.
No, not now. I mean, we're going to go one, two, three, and then pull. You're pulling it two. All right, you know what? Here, get on this side. And I'll do this for an hour. We pull the tarp off.
What? Okay, sure.
What do we see?
You see, what you see before your eyes is a prototype lost, forgotten in time for almost 50 years, right? Abandoned, left to be, but there it is, right now in front of you. It looks functional. It looks like it could totally function right now. And maybe you don't know exactly how you're going to use this, but perhaps you're seeing the germs of a plan start to form. What is before you right now is the prototype SkyCycle X2 that Evel Knievel was going to use to jump Snake River Canyon.
Oh my God. Okay. I turned to Justin and say, Justin, I think this might be the prototype SkyCycle 2 that Evel Knievel was going to use to jump to Snake River Canyon. And meanwhile, we're up here.
Like, that's amazing.
And it's like, hey, and also, if I remember correctly, Evel Knievel weighed about as much as the two of us put together, if I'm not mistaken.
Damn, we're thinning out.
Also, there's am I seeing this right, Andrew? It looks like there's a growler of what looks like unleaded fuel.
I don't know if that is what it ran on, but there's fuel. There's tanks.
There's tanks of fuel over here. And so describe for us what this vehicle looks like, just so I'm understanding it.
Imagine a missile. That you could sit in, and then maybe there's a couple little wheels on it.
Right on. Does it have wings?
I mean, it's got like little missile fins.
All right. And so let's just say this thing works. What can we do as we soar over this canyon that would scare off the technicians?
Well, so are we trying to get away, or are we trying to save these people?
Yeah, I want to save them. I mean, if you want to run away, then that's – I mean, we could talk about that.
No. All right, so we're going to just set off the SkyCycle X2 and just hope it distracts them?
Oh, no. I was thinking, like, we ride this, and then we just drop, you know, some bombs over them. Or maybe – better yet, what if we pretended – what if maybe everybody's gotten real superstitious since there's no more technology and no more internet to call us wrong? Maybe we could convince them that we're gods in a bush and then say, like, don't anger us. And then, you know, and then somebody walks too close. They're like, you've angered us. And then we launch it. And then they think, like, oh, maybe that bush is a god.
I mean, so, Brian, civilization fell apart like 2 months ago. Like, do you think that we've devolved into the gods must be crazy already?
I mean, I'm just saying, you know, I'm trying to think outside the box here. What do you think we should do?
I think really the only way, either we try to trade it with the marauders, or we try to use it as a distraction or as a way to rescue the people that they're circling. And of those three scenarios, I think the most likely is us probably trying to make it a gigantic distraction and then trying to get the hell out of here with the people in the van.
All right. Hey, Andrew, what can we see inside the school bus? Like, can we get an idea of the demographic of people in there?
I would say look like families, a lot of families, you know, young families, small children. There's a little boy waving to you he sees you all the way up there on the hill as you try to decide what do you do. And he's just he's looking right at you. He's making eye contact with you, Brian.
I do the thing where I put one finger to my lips and I go, shh, and then nod slowly like it's going to be okay, kid.
And he's like, he writes on the window, but he's because he's like seven. He writes it backwards, not knowing that. And he says, please don't let me die, Bri.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And then it's like,
he knows your name.
I gesture.
Oh, he just made the Diamond Club symbol.
Okay. I'm gesturing in a counterclockwise motion as if to say, wipe that off. I don't want to. That's
now
bad.
He's making a gun with his hand. And he's like pretending to shoot at the people, the marauders who are surrounding the vehicle, and points to you and is asking you to shoot them.
Is there any way
now he picks up his baby sister who's maybe 2.5 years old, you know, and she's got a little jury shirt on.
Oh, man. Justin, I really feel like we should save these guys. I feel like that's the alpha and omega. Is there any way to tell, like, does it look like the bus is broken down? Is there a reason they're not
driving? Yeah, there's, smoke coming out of the radiator. And maybe they just need some parts. Maybe they need some radiator hose or whatever.
And we're looking at how many bad guys?
I mean, there are, like, 20, 30 vehicles driving around. Really cool.
man.
Plus, I think Bryce is like, you know, in a suit on the front playing an electric guitar, you know. Yeah. What do we have him playing? The banjo, electric banjo, is their Duke Warrior.
What are you feeling, Justin? I don't know. Do we walk down and try to reason with them?
I mean,
because we don't got.
Oh, wait, there's somebody running across the plain, the desert plain towards them, holding his hands up, waving to them, right? It's this Bernie Sanders, nice-looking man, says, why can't we just rip? And they just blew him away.
Oh, jeez. No, yeah, they're definitely, this is bad.
They just ran over his body. Oh, they ran over it again. They keep running over him. It's flattening. Oh, his head's... Oh, they just right. smashed the head,
look,
too.
Look, Justin, all right, there's only one thing to do, Brian.
It's just a big smear across there.
We got to buzz these bitches and then circle back because we have the faster vehicle and help out the people in the van. But we got to draw them away.
Buzz?
No. Okay. Here we go. So is there a direct route from the Sky Cycle, from our current position down there, or do we have to come around another way, or...
Brian, I'm not sure you understand how a Sky Cycle works all of a sudden.
No, because my plan is we go and we attract them. We're like, hey, we're up here, come get us. And then they all come get us, and then we're all like, fly this thing down
there. No, Brian, we're going off the edge of the cliff.
Well, that's what... Okay. Again, my plan is to lure a bunch of them over, and then,
we Brian.
Sky
I,
cycle
no, Brian's
down
onto
there.
Something here.
Yeah, right. Or maybe we
so
wait.
So, Brian, your goal is you want to antagonize them, get them all in mass to come up to your position.
That's what I'm saying.
And as soon as they're there, hit ignition on the Sky Cycle, launch up into the air.
Yes.
Land near the bus, maybe quickly fix the radiator hose, right. Do whatever you can.
Sure. Yeah. No, that's exactly it. That's exactly what I'm getting at. Justin, are you down for this?
Let's go.
All right. Do we save? That seems like a good cliffhanger moment for us.
Literally a cliffhanger moment. Find out next week on Journey Quest what happens to their plan. Does it work? Does the Sky Cycle blow up? Do they suffer the same fate that Evel Knievel did, where he said it was a malfunction, although Bob Chirac, the designer, said it wasn't? Oh, who knows? We'll find out. Journey Quest Extreme.
I'm excited.
Dude, all about it.
So, gentlemen, do we have any picks? Any picks?
Dude, I am just flooded with picks. I can't, it's hard for me to pick one, but I guess I'll do an easy one. I accidentally pirated a movie. I didn't know I was pirating it, but there was a top Reddit post that says, hey, this movie's out. And so I clicked on it and I watched the movie. And then afterwards I read the comments because I want to know what other people thought. And they're like, yeah, can't believe it leaked before its theatrical release.
Oh my God.
And I was just like, oh man, did I just buy it? Oh, damn it.
So it was like a screener. It was good quality.
It was perfect quality.
Okay.
It was news making torrent freak. We're trying to figure out if this is even an intentional leak or whatever. But I'm not going to say what it is because I'm embarrassed. Instead, I'll just say how great Westworld is. Westworld is a really good show. I'm one episode in, and I like it a lot.
Cool. Cool. I'm at that point where I'm sort of waiting for like a bunch of episodes to back up before I start to watch it.
That's probably a good idea. It's just, I'm just glad to have something to watch weekly with Bonnie and, and a reason to still have my HBO account. And it seems like he's doing it.
Westworld, the original was written and directed by Michael Crichton. And, dude, I'm a big fan. I think we're all big fans of him. That guy was ahead of his time in so many ways. And that was a theme.
As a matter of fact, in the movie, they talk about a bug that propagates from robot to robot as if like an infection, foreshadowing.
In the original, yeah.
Yeah, foreshadowing. This is back in the 1970s, foreshadowing the real phenomenon of computer viruses before that was a thing.
Yep, and it's amazing how much how prescient he was about those things or understood what curtain problems were in technology that just you weren't reading about in popular entertainment. And he revisited that idea. You know, it was about 10 years later or so, he was just really toyed with the idea again of trying to do a theme park that went awry. And that's when he started thinking about, he wanted to do the story of, you know, dinosaurs. And so eventually that became Jurassic Park. You know, he went about it from a different point of view. And so I think, you know, it's neat to go watch the original version. Original version you can get, I still think, is on iTunes for like $6. It's not a...
Think about it, free on Amazon.
Oh, even better. So it's an odd movie, and then it's not a Western. It's not a full-on sci-fi movie. It's a bit of the 70s sort of nihilistic kind of thing in some regards. And so it does a few different things, but ultimately it's still a lot of interesting thinking went into it. And so... I'm gonna say check out the movie, and I'll have art too. But I have a pick after yours, Justin.
My pick is something that I watched on the way over here to the UK. It is a movie that came out this year, a little independent film called Sing Street. It's an Irish movie, but the director's done a bunch of stuff, recently that are usually all musical based, but. Sing Street was a really like a fun, catchy, awesome little movie where about a bunch of kids in Ireland who want to start a band in the 80s and sort of everything that goes along with like that process up to and including, every time a new music video comes on MTV, the lead singer kid who's our protagonist winds up changing the sound of the band. Which is, you know, a fun kind of comedic device to watch. And then, by the end, as his band has kind of become fully formed, it really is this sort of hybrid sound of all the bands that had been that he'd been listening to and being influenced by. And the music's good. The acting's good. It's well directed. And I very much enjoyed it. Sing Street.
Cool.
My pick is one of my favorite films, and I'm actually listening to the audiobook of the story, was based on the short story by Rudyard Kipling, and that is The Man Who Would Be King. It stars Sean Connery, Michael Caine, and it was directed by the...
John Huston. John Huston.
Thank you. I always get John Huston confused. With John Ford. So John Huston directed it, great director, and just an amazing, just a really neat story. So it's the story of these two former British officers in India who are a bit of scam artists who decide that they're going to try to take over an actual country, Kafiristan. And it's actually based on, in part, on a couple real events that took place in the early part of the 19th century. And it's a quirky, fun movie. I think that it's a great Sean Connery performance, by the way, too, because he plays, you know, this sort of goofy sort of oddball. I highly, highly, highly recommend The Man Who Would Be King, because it's just, I think, just a really good. And Michael Caine is just always, always really, really good. So any of you guys ever see The Man Who Would Be King?
No. As a matter of fact,
I have not. No.
I totally thought it was going to be something about King Arthur. And then I was like, wow, that's not at all what I thought it was.
There you go. Gentlemen.
Sweet.
It's been weird.
The Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.